Coming up this week on the Rock for Him podcast, we talk to Christina and Evan of Crimson Overtime. All right, well, hello and welcome into the Rock for Him podcast. I am your host, Sanshoes. As you can see, we have a full house here tonight. I am so excited. Before I get into the introductions, I just want to let everyone know that if you're watching on Facebook, go ahead and drop a comment. We got Kira watching those comments, so she'll be throwing them at Crimson Overtone. We'll be throwing them at Crimson Overtone. But if you're also on Twitch, I've got that up over here on this screen, so go ahead and comment on there. If you're on YouTube, again, over here on this screen, go ahead and post comments, and we'll be tossing them at the two that you see on my screen over there. But before I get to them, we have my brother in Christ, the man, the myth, the Mohawk, the big boy himself, Jeremy Brown. Bro, so good to see you.
It's good to be back. I missed this.
Yes, sir. We missed you. And my sister from another mister, we have Miss Kira Starr. Kira, how you doing?
I am so excited for tonight. How are you?
I cannot wait to talk to these two. And as you can see, we have Christina and Evan. We have Crimson Overtone. These people are family to us. So, how are you two doing?
We're good. We're good. We're happy to be here. It is so nice to see y'all again and to meet you, Kira. We're super excited to be back on the show. It's been too long.
It has been way too long since you guys have been on. So what's been going on with you guys? Tell us about it.
Writing.
Lots of writing.
Lots of writing.
Lots of time in the studio. After the shows last July with you guys, actually the Lord, he spoke to us and he said that we were not to book anything else, no booking any shows whatsoever until we had finished the music that he gave us.
Yep.
So we've been pretty quiet lately, which is why you haven't really heard from us or seen us playing live or anything like that. But now we're getting the ball rolling and are super excited about everything that's coming up.
I got to tell you, you guys are up here in July and you guys absolutely crushed it that night. We heard some new music from you. And then out of the blue, you hit us up with Victims of War. And you're like, hey, do you guys want to hear this? Yes. Yes, we do. And then Christina hits me today with, would you guys like the visualizer video to debut here tonight? And I'm like, no, not at all. Yes. So we'll be getting to that later, but I just wanted to open it up to my co-hosts here. Guys, hit these two with some questions.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
So what's the meaning behind Victim of War?
The meaning behind the song?
Yep.
So, well, it's kind of interesting because a former bandmate actually wrote the lyrics for that. So neither Christina and I can take any real credit for it. I mean, I moved a couple of words around and make it fit some music, but that's it. That doesn't count. So, she was going through some pretty rough stuff and was keeping her head up and keeping her faith in the Lord. And it's sort of a mini testimony from her, but I think more importantly, the song speaks to the reality of the fact that all of us, if we're alive, then we're in a war. Regardless of where it is, I mean, the thing that people like to keep hidden is their struggles, right? Either that or they're looking for handouts or sympathy. You know, there's no dealing with the struggle. It's either you're hiding it or you're looking for somebody else's hand, you know what I mean? And this song in particular, I think, speaks to the reality of that we are all going through a war of some kind. And it's not just surface level. It's deep, it's defining, it's painful, and it's current, I think, is the most important thing. And then secondly, there is a mantra in there about not giving up, and where that strength to not give up comes from. I think that's the best nutshell I could come up with right now.
Don't think I could have said it better.
Yeah, it's really cool. What I love about you guys, there's a lot, but I was doing a little bit of research on you guys, and I know you're a part of Celebrate Recovery, which is amazing. I just joined Celebrate Recovery. I'm in recovery myself, and I'm sober almost 3 years. So
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm so excited to be a part of Celebrate Recovery now, and I love that they do all kinds of healing on it. So that's amazing, and I love that you're part of that. But in one of your articles, you had said something that I say all the time, and I make videos and I expose myself all the time. And you said, "You're only as sick as your secrets." And I was like, "Oh, I love these guys even more. I need more people like you in this world." So thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. That's him doing stuff. We're just trying to
Yeah.
carry on, you know. If it works, it's because he's speaking, so that's good.
Amen.
So I got to tell you guys, I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but the first time we actually met you guys in person was in Indiana down in Kokomo, and you guys had
Dang,
just
you
got
were in
done
show.
playing. You guys had just come off stage, and you were back by your merch table, and this girl had walked in who was on her way to end her own life. And she walked in because she just seen free concert, watched you guys play, and Jeremy and I were sitting there, we were watching you guys, just like, wow, these guys are awesome. And we watched you come off, and you guys gathered around this girl because she went up to the merch table and told you how much your music meant to her that night. To watch you guys pray with her, I don't know if you guys remember that or not, but that impacted me because we walked by at that time because we were heading back to our table, and we heard her telling her story, and we just kind of were creepers and hung out listening to see what was going on. And then to see you guys just gather around this young lady and pray, that had to have been life-changing for her. I know it was for me, just to see you guys doing that and the care and love you had for someone. I just wanted to thank you for that. I've been meaning to talk to you guys and tell you that, but that was really impactful. I don't even know if you guys remember that or not, but it was, oh, that was such a powerful night. So.
Amazing. That young lady, she has been to every show that we've been to up in that area since. And we've seen
Nice.
her multiple times. We've talked to her. We've kept in touch here and there online, and seeing how the Lord has worked. You don't always get to see how the Lord works in somebody's life, right? And you don't always get to see how what you do in a moment, what you share in a moment gets to impact somebody long term. So I think it'd be hard to forget just because she keeps coming back,
Yeah, she's cool too.
she
She's
actually
cool.
has done some photography at Kingdom Come Fest and at Pit Fest, and has started doing some concert photography herself. So you may start seeing her pictures around too. She's really just grown a lot. An amazing young lady, honestly.
Yeah, I think ultimately I'm glad that that made an impact. That actually helps a lot. So I think I've said some of my story. I can't remember if I was interviewing with y'all at one point. We were interviewing with y'all at one point, and I said this, but my first exposure to anything like this was Stephen Curtis Chapman back in 1992. And it was for Sake of the Call tour. I'd never seen a rock show before. And then I saw him up there with all of his lights and the fog machines, and he just loves doing what he does. If y'all have ever seen Stephen Curtis Chapman, man, he just loves it. That's just his thing, right? So, but anyway, it was massively impactful to me, and it left an indelible mark. That there is something there's an identity that we have that reaches out beyond what we experience every day. The things that people say, the person that we see in the mirror, you know, there's God has an identity for us that reaches beyond that. And that was, I think, the biggest thing that really hit me at the Stephen Curtis Chapman concert, because I mean, a lot of my faith I can attribute to some of his lyrics, like, because the lyrical content, not just the lyrical content, but the storytelling, which, and I'll let her start talking about that, but the lyrical storytelling that he goes through in his process, you know, it met me where I was at, and it was though the Lord was speaking to me, saying, "Hey, you know, you can do this," or, "Hey, here's some wisdom," or, you know what I mean? And so, to me, that's what all of this is about. That's what it should be about. It's what I'm really glad to hear you say that, because it's like, yes. And then, you know, if I bring it into the heavier stuff, I was just talking to Christina yesterday, as a matter of fact, about this. The next indelible mark that really left a huge impact was Pillar, you know, and I was going through some really crazy stuff at one particular point in time, and it just had it. And I was at a stoplight, and I had the fireproof CD in my truck, and the "You Can't Take Me Down," you know, that song. It's been a minute since I've heard it, but now I'm embarrassed.
Great
But
song.
anyway, that song came on, and at that particular moment, that was exactly the punch that I needed, because it had all of the grit. It had that he was yelling through the speakers. The music was just heavy hitting, and it was like, man, that was the energy I needed to push through that little mind game that was going on in my head. And that's, I think, ultimately, this music is about giving people something to latch on to that's outside themselves. You know, there is an identity that God has for you. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter who said things to you. It doesn't matter what you've said to yourself in the mirror. You know, there is an identity that God has for you. He created you for a purpose. And that's the crux of what we're dealing with in our music. So I'm really glad that you said that, man. That's very encouraging. I appreciate that.
No problem. I've been meaning to tell you guys that for the longest time. Like, I always tell myself every time I see you or talk to you, I'm like, oh, I gotta tell them how much that meant. And it always slips my mind. So this was my opportunity. So.
I remember that night too, so yeah.
So tell us about, I know we got Victims of War that we're going to be debuting here in a little bit, but tell us about this record that you guys have been working on. Like, I know we heard at least one other song that someone else may have guessed it on. Is that going to be part of this?
What song was that?
Oh yeah, because Jeremy sang with us when
Oh
we were
yeah.
in Michigan.
That's
Yeah.
right.
He's forgetting. No, it's okay. It's been
Forgetting everything right now. Not enough
almost a
coffee.
year. Right, not enough. Oh man. So yes, that will be on the new album, though unfortunately you won't be hearing it this year. Most likely,
Most
unless the
likely.
Lord is like, hey, here's a bunch of time and resources, go forth and prosper.
Yeah, right.
The plan this year is we're going to release a few singles that are all on the album, with a storyline that sort of leads up to the album itself. So we're very excited about tying all these things together. However, yes, Victims of War was totally new to you guys. The next one that we're dropping over the summer, that one you also would have heard in July. That was the song Monochrome.
But you didn't hear it like this.
No, you didn't. It is definitely, it has developed a lot since we played it a year ago.
A lot.
Nice.
So you got to hear the rough and tumble version if
That's
I'm
right.
still figuring it all out. But
That's
I'm
right.
super excited that that one made the cut because, oh man, if it was a banger before, like, oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
I'm pretty stoked. It's a good one.
I know. I'm glad it's coming out next because I've been dying to be able to actually just listen to it.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear it now.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
You should be excited.
Love it. I mean, I think Victims of War is phenomenal. I mean, you guys seen and have read our review of it. So if you're saying that this next one I should get excited for,
Yeah, you should. Yes.
All you have to say is Crimson Overtones got any music, and I'm like, take my money. Seriously.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm excited when I finally get to see you guys live. I watched a lot of your videos and it's really impressive. Your style, the way you interact with the crowd, you even got people to do mosh pits. Like, that is awesome. That's the kind of show that I definitely want to enjoy. And I also got to say, Christina, I'm very impressed by the plethora of things that you're into and I've always been into. It's really cool and you are very humble about it. You're very intelligent. It's really cool. And my favorite song that you've done so far, I can't remember how old this one is, but it was Severed. And it's funny because I remember when I first heard you, I thought your voice reminded me a little bit of the band Kitty. And they have a song called Severed. And I was listening to it. I'm like, that's really cool. I love that.
I love Severed. That's one of my favorites too. Yeah,
That
really.
one really spoke to me.
I think that was the first song that we actually got from you
Yep.
guys
Yep, it
back
was.
when we started Rock for Him. I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but we were getting emails from whoever was repping you at the time, like every week. Hey, can they come on your podcast? Can you come on podcast? And then they sent us the music and we're like, yes, they can. Yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean to be that annoying.
No. Like, we had, at that point, we had just started. We didn't know who Crimson Overtone was. And it was just like, hey, can we come on? Can we come on? Can we come on? And I'm like, I don't even know who they are. I haven't heard them before. And all of a sudden, okay, well, here's one of our songs. Oh, yes, please. Please come on. Please. And then
That's
we met Evan and we regretted everything.
do what I can.
If the people watching can't tell, we absolutely love Christina and kind of like Evan, so
Evan's all right.
he's okay.
Now I gotta ask, where's the rest of the band?
Oi.
You're looking at him.
Yeah. So Rob is off doing his thing. Keffa is off doing, they know him as,
I know. Yes.
yeah, he's
Peter, Rob, yeah.
He's off doing his thing. It's actually really cool, man. He and his wife bought about 10 acres, and they're doing some pretty big ministry stuff. They're doing I guess small groups of sorts is the best way to describe it at their house every week, and it's pretty powerful stuff that's coming out of there. So that's awesome. He's also doing some producing. He's still in the neighborhood. Doing producing for various other artists, doing a great job with that. And Lindsay has moved on to, he's doing pretty much worship based now, right?
He wanted to move into just a different genre of
Yeah.
music. So he's slowly building up his own his next project.
Yeah. Yeah.
So looking forward to whenever that stuff starts coming out for him for sure.
And then, and Alex is here, but he is busy.
Yes, yeah. Alex is here. He's taking a little bit of time off right
Yeah.
now to just rest and be with the Lord and speak with him
Yeah.
and all of that. So we're glad that he will be back, but at this moment he's taking some time off.
Yeah. And
Yeah, I
then,
was looking forward to meeting Alex because I guess he's the death metal guy. That's my kind of, I love metal. I love death metal.
yeah. But yeah, and then Will is out somewhere. But y'all pray for him. He's an awesome dude, and like I said before, this
Yeah,
album is going out to him. Is that we would not be able to have even produced Victims of War the way we did without his influence. And so, you know, prayers for Will and everything that he's going through. He's an awesome dude, and we miss him. So,
we will. Well,
yeah, I know when
that's
we
where
met him
everybody
back
is.
in,
Yeah.
huh?
I know when we met him back in July, he was just absolutely phenomenal.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Thought he was the coolest dude.
Yeah.
And you know us, we'll be praying for him at the end of the show, and then
Oh
we'll
yeah.
continue to pray for him. So,
Yeah.
I've been noticing on your social media, you're saying tonight you're going to answer all of the questions. So, what are those answers? What are the questions that people have been asking that you want to answer?
Questions.
What are the questions? 37.
37.
And green.
Yes. Yes. So, tell us a little bit more about what went into making Victims of War. I know you told us a little bit about it, but I know you guys have been off for a while. You've been writing, you've been doing all kinds of like work on this. With such a powerful song like this, like, just walk us through it. What did you guys go through doing this? Like,
that is an interesting question. Well, I guess from my end, it boils down to what our writing process is. Basically, I sit down and discover cool sounding riffs. I just goof around on the guitar until I happen upon a riff that sounds cool. I'm like, yeah, I like that. It has a good feel to it. It has a good vibe to it, you know, and then we'll build from there. So the way those riffs came about was actually the way most of these riffs on this album came about was me and Will were hanging out at like 2 o'clock in the morning, just jamming. And it's like, oh snap, I got to record that. That's awesome. And so we recorded it and then just sort of built it. And I'm very much, when I build songs, one section tells me where the next section's going to go. So it's never, I generally have a kind of a blurry scope of what I want to do with the song initially, but it's never detailed. Like I couldn't give you any kind of description really until we start with the riffs and then we'll throw a drum beat to it. And then the magic always happens when I'm playing this riff and she pops up with a melody and some lyrics. It's like, ah, and that's how we know a song happens. And sometimes I fall on the floor. It's true.
Yes, this is true.
I get very excited and I fall on the floor and it's funny and we all laugh and it's great. But
these days I'll catch it on camera. Oh, it's always entertaining.
Yeah, it's happened. I get really excited when we, because you know, I mean, you're kind of in it and your head's all there and there's no other distractions and the mind is just in the music at the moment. And then when that right note hits or that right melody hits and it's just like, I don't know, just, and you know it's right. So that's kind of how that song developed.
Yeah, I actually remember specifically when we realized that the Victims of War lyrics were going to go over that music, because it was on one of those days that we were sitting there just, you know, when Will left and we hadn't heard from him for a while. I mean, we were all really just sad, honestly. We were hurting for him. We were hurting without him. and so we were kind of just listening through, almost nostalgia style, listening through. It's like, oh yeah, I remember when we played this riff. And then I was like, wait, no, play that again.
Yeah.
Play that again. And I start singing the original melody that he and Emmy had written. Now, the original version of the song sounded very much like Foo Fighters.
Which I love, Foo Fighters.
Highly entertaining. You know, we may put that up on we're building a cut songs library right now for people who want to, you know, sign up for, I don't know, extra content, maybe.
Patreon, paywall.
Yeah, that sort of thing. but we'll probably put the original up there just because it's fun to listen to them side by side. But I start singing Emmy's original lyrics over that riff that Will had written. And it was one of those like,
stop!
That's the one. That's the song. And he goes and he types it out, like labels it. He's like, okay, now it's in a folder. We'll come back to that later. And we moved on with whatever we're doing at rehearsal.
Yeah. Hmm. But that's the story of how the song developed.
Wow. So
I was going to ask you, Christina, like your vocals in this song are absolutely just phenomenal. For me personally, like you guys know how much I love your music. Christina, you know how much I love your vocals. I think this is probably your strongest effort. Like, how do you do that? How do you mentally prepare and just unleash your vocals like you did, because there were parts where you're just like soft singing, and then you go into like a scream that I'm just like, okay, like I see you, girl. Okay, like you got some growl to you. Like, how do you do that? Like, how do you mentally prepare yourself to go into something like that, especially with a song like this that's written by, someone that clearly you guys care about and, is kind of drifting away.
Yeah, I do think lately, and I think he would say this too, there's been a bit of a mindset shift behind the microphone. I think for a really long time there's just an intimidation, I think, that I felt previously, where I'd get in front of the microphone and my mouth would get all dry and I'd get really tight and anxious because the microphone exposes everything, right? You record yourself and it exposes everything. So there's had to be a bit of a shift in realizing that this is still a performance. We're recording, but it's a performance. So going in there with that concert level energy, if I can't do it in front of the microphone, then doing it on stage is pointless, right? Because if our recorded stuff isn't as good as our live performance, then people aren't gonna go to the live performance. So there's been a bit of that. I think there's also just been more time in the studio produces better results. Doing more singing and more performance and working with the microphone more, which we've had to do since we haven't been playing live. All of our music, all of our rehearsals have been in front of microphones and been recording. So it's that sort of practice makes progress situation where I've just been doing it a lot more. I owe a lot to him as a producer. Because I know a lot of the techniques, right? Like I was trained vocally. I went to school for music. And so I know what to do, but sometimes I don't know where to apply different techniques. And so he might say, hey, no, this needs more of that feel, or I need you to make it sound like this. And having that little bit of prodding and direction, that back and forth communication of, it's not criticism, it's saying, let's try something else. It's throwing ideas back and forth and seeing what sticks, so I can apply his direction to the techniques and things that I already know. And it really has opened up so many things. Like we were doing a session the other day, and I admittedly came in so nervous.
Which one?
Monochrome, where we
Oh.
were doing all the
Oh, yeah, don't give me
We were doing a specific part in monochrome, and I was very anxious. But then as we started unlocking that, and as the session continued on, and he'd say, hey, I need it to sound like this, and I'd be like, oh, I know how to do that. And then we'd take a take and say, wait, no, I'd listen and say, I could do it better, I could do it better. And so once we get into the flow,
And
it unlocks things.
what's really fun too is it's crazy, and I'm learning too. I don't know these things. I'm just like, hey, that's what if we did this or that or the other? And it's, I'm learning as we go. And so what's really wild to see is subtle changes in the way that you move your mouth, subtle changes in the where you choose to enunciate a specific word produces a certain sound in a microphone, right? And that's just really cool to me. And so that's been really, I've had a lot of fun playing with that, because like she can change the way she says a word. And if I've the biggest one is enunciating the consonants at the end of a word puts an enormous emphasis going into the next word, and so you get a lot of character that comes out in the voice at that point in time, which I think is really cool. So I didn't know it would do that, but just in the process of playing around, that's what we discovered, and it's like, hey, that's awesome.
And when he said that, it was just brought back all of the memories of my old choir days. There was like this old song we would sing, and I always say, enunciate the consonants, spit out the words, round all your vowel sounds, and you'll be clearly heard. And so every time he says, you need to enunciate, I was like, I know. Oh, I know.
Well, I'm gonna let my co-host talk for a little bit, because I could ask questions for hours. So I'm gonna let these two get a couple words in before I break them off and start talking again. So I'm gonna sit back and drink my coffee.
Well,
I kind of have, I have a
go
girl question real quick. I have a girl question.
go for it.
Christina, what kind of eye primer are you using on stage? Because I know you're getting hot and sweaty and your makeup doesn't seem to move at all.
I don't.
You don't? Wow, you're really lucky.
So I have found I am not the most wealthy person in the world, but I have experimented a lot. The Wet n Wild eyeliner, liquid eyeliner, is the best that I have found. And there is this like cheap bottle of Walmart setting spray that I've had since my cosplay days back in high school. I don't know what it is about that stuff. It was like cheap generic brand from Walmart, but it goes nowhere. Nothing goes anywhere except my lipstick, which ends up all over my face every time I play. I need to have a good stain.
Jeremy uses that same stuff, so it's amazing.
Right?
I was wondering what that was on my mic the other day.
You're gonna have to send me a picture of the setting spray because I'm literally like, wow, that's impressive. I go to music festivals and 2 hours in, just ridiculous. I met Michael Felker with stuff all over my face, and I didn't realize it till afterwards, and I was like, oh my gosh.
That's funny.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
So I was gonna ask, how's being a mom?
It's better now. I would say that we're not in the baby phase anymore. We love babies and we love baby snuggles, right? But there's just they need so much at that point that, I think a lot of moms probably feel this way, but it's just I feel like I lost a lot of myself in having to give so much of my, myself physically and emotionally to another person. So there's a lot of what's the word that I'm looking for? It's a very selfless thing, but it's also it can also be a very exhausting thing. Like one of my favorite analogies is the flamingo, right? So when a flamingo has a baby, its feathers turn white because all of the nutritional all of their nutrition is going to their young. But then once their young grow up and are able to care for themselves, they slowly get their pink back, right? So I feel like that's kind of where I'm at in life as I'm starting to finally get my pink back as my son is just growing and he's so fun. He's here every Monday night with us and he sits on Alex's drum kit and just goes at it. He loves it.
Likes to play with the computer and my guitars, and
Yes, and all of the
he's gonna
snickers.
be a force to be reckoned with. I
One of
kid
these
you
days.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
He
Nice.
he still can't pronounce his R's, right? He's a toddler, but he loves to play the dumbs.
The
Specifically, he loves that, he loves Alex Dumb. Alex Dumbs.
yeah.
And we think that's very funny. But that's like his favorite right now.
Nice.
So
So,
I saw you did on one of your performances, you were with Tricord and you guys did Let It Rain together.
oh yeah.
That was so cool. Is that something you do a lot?
Whenever he asks me if he's playing a show and I happen to be in the area and he wants me to hop on, then heck yeah, we love those guys. We've always said that if bands could have soulmates, Tricord and Crimson Overtone
Oh,
are
yeah.
like band soulmates.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they were actually just up at the house
They were, yeah. I was
a
up with
couple
them
nights ago.
Friday at
Yeah.
their show here in Georgia. That was
Yeah.
so much fun. Dude, they killed it. I love those guys so
Yeah, they're
much.
pretty awesome.
We do too. I'm excited to see them this summer at KCF.
Oh yeah, I'm so happy for them. They're like they're killing it right now, dude. The new music, the new sound, the stuff that they're doing in the industry is just so cool. I'm like it's not even envy. I'm just so happy 'cause I remember our first show together. It was our very first show ever. And I remember sitting at like where did we go after? Was it Waffle House, Melomush? We went somewhere to eat together afterwards, and we were just talking about all of our dreams and our plans and our goals and what we wanted to do with music. And I'm getting to sit here and watch them, live out the things that they had hoped for so long, and seeing the Lord like move that for them. I just we're sitting here, we can't even be mad. We're like, that's so
Yeah, it's
cool.
awesome.
Because we're on
It's
a different
awesome.
path, you know?
So my favorite thing, and I don't know if you guys saw this one, but it was no, it was at Resurrection Fest down here in
Oh no, Savannah.
in Savannah, yeah. Man, they came out on stage with these crazy like
Oh, like the neon shoes
neon
and
everything,
everything.
neon shoes,
Amazing.
and dude,
Sick.
the drum kit was lit up with neon and the black lights were, oh my gosh, it was so cool. It was so cool. So anyway, that left it left an impact.
Yeah.
Well,
Good.
speaking of your label mates, Rob T says he needs to share the stage with you guys again.
Oh, good. Yes.
Yeah, and Alex from Cannibalistic is replying to the whole makeup thing and says that his wife puts on his eyeliner for him. So.
There is a video somewhere of his daughter putting eyeliner on his face.
Nope. Not an eyeliner guy. Not doing it
Sure.
anymore. I did it once and it was cool for like 3 seconds and then I'm over it.
Probably
Stick
a
things in
video.
my face, please.
That one might also go up on the Patreon. That was fun.
Was fun. Oh,
Go
man. Yeah.
ahead, Kira. Did you say something?
I did not say anything,
Oh.
but I can easily. I love how you guys also celebrate Hanukkah. That is so pretty. I love it. And you guys make it fun. You were like raiding menorahs. That was cool. You
Yeah.
guys do some cool stuff. I have to say, like, I love just how you guys are family now. Like, I'm sure it was a struggle getting there, breaking down those walls, really getting to communicate, getting to know each other. Now you guys just seem like so together. And it's beautiful. I love, like, your social media on Facebook is actually really impressive as well. Like, you really keep up with that stuff. And I wish more bands did that. It's really awesome. You guys are doing great.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. That's her. I don't have any social media.
Oh, no, it's mostly her. Yeah. I had fun with the menorah stuff because I don't, we celebrate more on the Christmas side, my family personally, but they celebrate Hanukkah. It's been cool getting to slowly integrate, I guess, into more of those traditions and customs. All of them, actually, I think my favorite was they invited us to Sukkot 1 year, and that left a huge impression on me personally. But that was, I want to do more stuff like that. I loved that video. That was fun. I picked out the menorahs, and he got to laugh at them.
Yeah,
I mean, speaking of celebrating Hanukkah, like when you guys released O Come Emmanuel and you had that like Hebrew in the beginning of it, I thought like that was amazing. Like I told you, Christina, like that song I think you can listen to all year round, but that was probably one of the coolest things that anyone had ever included in there was, you know, doing part of the song in Hebrew. I was like, oh, like that is fantastic. I'd
Yeah.
never heard that before like that.
Yeah. Well, and that the Hebrew that you heard in that song was actually it's a Hanukkah song called Maatzur. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Don't ask me that.
but Maatzur means Rock of Ages, and it talks about the strength of the Lord as he brought his people out of the exile. And O Come Emmanuel is the, you know, we're living in exile, we're longing for that reprieve. So it's the Come, Lord Jesus, followed by, but our God is our strength and he will deliver us. So it was, I thought, the perfect mashup of Christmas and Hanukkah because it's a song of waiting and a song of deliverance put together to form a really, like we talked about, lyrical storytelling and how perfectly those storylines matched up. And then getting to sing that the Mazur is really a cool piece and it's so pretty. The original is gorgeous. Please go listen to that
Yeah, for
song.
sure. That's good.
It's so good.
That's good. The interesting thing about storytelling is if you hear what she just said about that, and then if you listen to Victims of War, that's literally the same story. It's just a different version, you know, because I mean that's what it's about. The bondage and the exile that all of us feel, you know, that we live in, that's what he's here to pull us out of, to the bondage is to self. And he pulls us out of self into his identity. And that's what that whole song is about. That's what Victims of War is about. So pretty cool.
Well, speaking of Victims of War and seeing what time it is, why don't we go ahead and play the visualizer video? You guys good with that?
Yeah.
People watching, are you good with seeing the video? Let me go ahead and get it ready here, and I will cue it up. And I don't think Jeremy's even seen this yet. Have you?
Oh, not. I saw it in the email, but I literally got home in time to jump on the podcast.
Sweet.
I'm glad you're here, man. That's cool.
All right, here we go. So
I wouldn't miss it. I wouldn't miss.
Anyway. Somebody said they were like, it's a quiet song about darkness.
Yes. Yes. That's the next one. We're going to do one. A quiet song about darkness.
All right. For those watching on Facebook, I really apologize. Like, it should have played. Like, it was on the screen, so it should have played. But again, we're a completely professional podcast. I have no idea what we're doing.
Right? But it was really good. I'm excited for everyone to see it. It was good. It was well made. And you look beautiful, Christina.
Thank you.
So I think for me, one of the coolest parts of that video was the girl that kind of reminded me of the female Wolverine. What was her name?
Daphne Keene.
Yeah, Daphne Keene. Like, but she was like mouthing some of the lyrics there a little bit. It looked like, I was like, oh, that is awesome. Like, Christina, when you were like over her shoulder and I could see her just kind of mouthing some of the lyrics, I'm like, that is awesome. Like, that was the little touches that made things cool in there. Tell us about that video that nobody got to see.
I'll make sure it goes up. I think it actually is going to be on YouTube tonight. We were back and forth of whether we were going to use the visualizer because it's not official. It's just the all of the little clips we've been putting on social media put all together instead of all cut up. But I do believe we decided to go ahead and put it out. So it'll be up on YouTube. I can maybe push it up a little for those of you who missed it. But yeah.
I think what the problem is, I'll be honest with you, is we use an app to broadcast to a bunch of different places. I should have put the video into the app. I tried using an external app, so that was on me. I apologize. I'll know for next time.
Jason, you're fired.
Kira, it's all on you now. So.
No.
Yeah, because I'm pretty much hit or miss.
So anyways, tell us about the video. Tell us what people couldn't see. Just tell us about this video.
Yeah, so when we were talking through Victims of War and what we wanted the story to sort of represent, Evan had created this audio intro as sort of a practice for the soundscapes that we're going to be using in the album. He created these like sirens and bombs and things, and explained that he had this vision that it was almost like a World War II bomb shelter sort of feeling. So we took that concept and we ran with it. We built a lyric video around it, which will come out at the beginning of May. And then when we were trying to come up with social media visualizers, we had, well, your basement looks kind of like a bomb shelter. Why don't we do that? Why don't we use that? So, we talked to the girl in the video is actually his daughter, Jayla, and she did just an absolutely phenomenal job. Oh my gosh, perfection. While it was playing, we were literally sitting here talking to each other like, oh my gosh, her faces and her eye movement and just all the little things she does. Perfection. Fantastic. So yeah, that was just sort of the whole vision was, can we sort of portray a young girl, you know, running and hiding and being chased by something that's sort of illusory, not necessarily, you don't know if it's a positive or a negative entity, but just being followed by something. So I'm supposed to be sort of this neutral shadow that's a little bit ominous. You're not entirely sure what it's supposed to represent, following her and singing to her and then leaving.
So I just want to say for those watching, if you want to see this video once we normally end the podcast, I will add the video real quick to the app and we will watch it again so people can see it. Are you guys good with that? Yes. Okay. So, like, that video to me was just impressive. Like, everything that you were saying, like, the creativity that you guys go through for this song is mind-blowing to me. There's no way I could ever have come up with something like that. I'm just watching that in complete and total awe. Just because of the story of the lyrics and watching the video, you guys blended it so well. So well. It was watching a movie. I mean, seriously, it was like watching a movie. So thank you for that. And I'm sorry no one got to see it until in a minute.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's something that, especially because we're taking some time back from performance, that's a style you're going to really start seeing a lot more from Crimson Overtone, is we're moving into this cinematic era, if you will, where every song has a story that's connected to it cinematically. And so we're hoping that that will bring people in and invite people not just into the music, but invite people into a whole world. That's what we want to create, is a world where people can step into it and find not our story, but can find the soundtrack to their story.
Yep.
Right. At this point, you know, it's not about us anymore. We're just characters at this point.
Yep.
And I'm personally, I feel like that's always where I've wanted to be. There is nobody harder to be than yourself. So I am thrilled to be able to step into a little bit more of a, it's still us, it's still authentic, but in some ways it almost feels more so, because there's a humility and a vulnerability that it takes to step into someone else's story and portray that almost more than portraying yourself. There's a level of empathy and humility that's required, I think, to be somebody else.
I think that's she and I have both talked about this with Victims of War in particular. One of my favorite things about it is the fact that neither one of us wrote the lyrics.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, I love that. And, you know, it's, I love the fact that we write lyrics too, but it's, there's something that feels special about putting a soundtrack to somebody else's moment.
For sure.
You know what I mean? And that was, I really appreciated that. I thought it was cool. Hmm.
So are the upcoming singles, I mean, I know Victims of War is not even out yet, but you said you got another one coming out here in the summer. Are you guys going to do the same thing, have a video like that? And are the videos going to kind of connect in any way? Like, you're going to be able to watch one long story.
Oh,
wow. I can't believe he just said that. Man.
I don't know how much I can give away necessarily.
As little as possible.
But you will see that character again, and you will see more characters enter the universe as the year progresses. You'll probably see some faces you recognize and some faces you don't. And I think the faces you recognize, you'll be really, really excited about.
Yeah.
Because they're not part of Crimson Overtone.
No.
Love it.
I will say this, from here on out, just short blurb, from here on out, everything is connected.
Yes.
Everything.
100%.
From backwards to forwards and everything in the middle, everything is connected. How and why? Well, that's up to the audience to find out.
And if you watch even the videos that we're putting out now, including the promo we did for you guys in front of the little map thing, every single video has hints for what's coming next. Whether it's a hint about the album or a hint about the next single, every single video that we've put out so far, if it's not one of those cinematic ones, if it's one of those more generic looking ones, there's Easter eggs littered throughout all of it. So our hope, I think, is that when people see the end result, you know, with the album coming out, they can look back even at Victims of War and say, oh, I recognize this prop, or I recognize that backdrop, or oh, they filmed in front of this specific place, and that was, you know, everything is connected. We're building a universe. We're not building just a soundtrack. Mm.
That's right. That's right.
Wow, that's really exciting. I love that. Now I'm, like, way excited.
Oh, it's so much fun building the videos. Yeah. There's one video that I do in front of, like, a bookshelf, right? And so I, like, rearranged the books on the shelves and added certain props in certain places. And I'm like, oh, I'm so excited for somebody to watch this later and see those books and see the, like, because it's so much fun creating that content and thinking about, he sits there and he'll be like, oh no, it's not obvious enough. And I was like, that's the point. That's the point. So much fun. I love it. Feels sneaky, but
Well,
in a good
I
way.
do like the sneaky things. My
Yes.
biggest thing is just context. You have to
But
be
it can
able
be
to,
sneaky.
a random person has to be able to look at it and understand context. So,
Right.
but other than that, I just shush and let it do its thing.
But it is a lot of fun. Yeah, it's very fun.
You two are going to have people watching your videos like people watched Stranger Things and trying to connect things and trying to put things like, I know there's a secret episode somewhere. That's going to be people watching your videos. I know there's something secret in there. Great. Now that's going to be me now. I'm going to have the chalkboard out and driving my wife insane, like, watch this.
Where's the
And
hint?
I just got to tell you, people on YouTube are like, we want to see the video and we want to see it now. So once we pray and Kiro gets us out of here, I'll play the video. I just have to queue it up in the app. So, with
Then
all that
check
being
with me and make sure it's working before you continue.
yes, I will check with Kira beforehand. So, before we go into prayer, is there anything else that you two want to ask, seeing how I've been talking pretty much the entire hour? Kira, big boy, anything?
No, I'm good.
I know Kira's
I
got a
just have
page.
one more question. You said in an article that you listen to a lot of stuff outside your genre. I was just curious, like, what was the one thing that you listened to that you were shocked that you enjoyed listening to?
As in things outside the genre or inside the genre?
Outside of your genre. Like, I guess you do kind of just maybe for research or for inspiration. You had mentioned that you listen to random stuff outside of what you normally do.
Oh no, that's just my regular play. That's my
Oh,
regular
really?
playlist.
That's
That's
awesome.
never my genre. I think I've been more surprised listening to metal, and realizing that there's a lot more depth to it than just like angry screaming. And that also the angry screaming is a lot more complex and requires a lot more talent than I think I realized at first. So I think I've been more pleasantly surprised by the genre that I'm in. Because before this was a total surprise. I showed Keffa or Rob, as you knew him, one of my songs, and he showed it to him, and he's like, "You're gonna be a metal singer." And I was like, "Oh, what? Okay, cool."
Accurate.
The closest thing I listened to metal before I met these guys was like J-pop.
Okay. Look. So the truth is, she knew about Red, and the song that she presented reminded me very much of something that Red would do. And it just was like, wow, that's whoa. And
I
so
mean,
I had to
that's
open that
valid.
eyes.
That's valid.
And can I rep your dad? Okay, so her dad's awesome. I love Brian. He's so cool. So
Brian's awesome.
yes. So he actually was a studio musician for Bride, if you guys remember Bride back in the old days. So she's got good roots, man. She's got good roots.
Yes, for sure. And we all know what your guilty pleasure song is there, Evan. Which my daughter still
Don't you
argues.
dare. Don't do it.
Yes. Listen,
Don't.
my daughter is still upset that Uncle Evan would not play Popular for her when you guys are up here.
Oh my goodness, yes.
That's all she wanted to hear. I literally sitting here and she got a text. She's like, "Wait, you're talking to Evan and he wouldn't play Popular for me." I'm like, "I'm sorry."
He won't even play it for me. It's okay. It was a miracle he recorded
It was a little bit beyond a miracle that I recorded
it.
that. Literally, the only thing that got me to do that was the video concept. I was like, okay, that's silly. I can get behind something that's silly. That's fine. I'll do the video and it'll be silly and everyone will laugh and it'll be fine. It's only partially fine.
Oh no, it's very funny.
It's great.
So we are, well, we've been going for an hour. So let's get into prayer. Of course, we are going to be praying for Will without any question, praying for Will. how else can we be praying for you guys individually and as a band?
First off, total transparency. This is a massive challenge. I very much feel like, if anybody remembers the story of Gideon, I very much feel like Gideon, where the Lord has given him a directive against people who are very much more prepared and trained than he is. And then the Lord starts pulling things away and he's like, you want me to do what? You know, and it's, I'm very happy with the direction, with what we're doing. I love it. I'm very excited about it. But I'm going to be honest, man, there is a resource toll emotionally, mentally, monetarily, energy, time. I mean, it's hard. If I wasn't so confident about what we're doing and so excited about it, because I love it, it's so cool, especially like you guys are loving Victims of War, so I'm like, yes, win. It makes it worth it, right? So yeah, it's hard, man. And she and I were talking about this the other day. It's very, very hard. Yeah. Lots to learn. Little bites. Little bites, little at a time. And the expectations are difficult to manage too, because we're like, we got to get these out, and then there's the album to put out, and then there's all the things that go with the album, and it's like, oh my goodness. So prayers for encouragement, I guess, specifically for focus, and that when we do get tired, because that is a part of when you're at war, you get tired. It's just what it is. You got to stay on mission. Yep. Even if it doesn't feel right, you got to stay on mission. That's part of it, right? So you don't get a result if that doesn't happen. So prayers for focus, that we can stay on mission, and that the spiritual energy from the Lord himself is always present. I guess that's the most clear I could say it.
Got it.
Yeah.
How about you, Christina? Anything for you?
Yeah, I think in the same vein, just again, that the strength, the energy, the focus. Yeah, all of those things that when, not to give the enemy more credit than is due, but I think that a lot of times when we're doing what the Lord has called us to, when the Lord does take things away so that we have to rely on him, a lot of times the enemy wants to come into our ears and say, that's not there because you don't deserve it, or you're not good enough, or you're not, you know, and so he comes against our families and our identities and our health and all of these things. There are some things that happen because we live in a fallen world and that's just life. Mm. But then there are other things that are definitely more on that spiritual attack. So I think just like continuing to pray against the, you know, the fiery arrows of the enemy, that we would all be, you know, strong in the Lord, and not just strong in the Lord because we're relying on him, but because we are adorning ourselves appropriately for war, like that we would dress ourselves daily for war and go into battle prepared rather than going in just on hope and a prayer.
Yeah, I mean, in another prayer request, and this is all for everyone who's listening and watching, you know, that same prayer is for you guys. You know, this life is not designed to check off boxes. You know, where I went to church, I was nice to the person who was mean to me, I didn't flip somebody off in traffic. That doesn't matter, because that's not war. War is when you're receiving an identity from as something that's not you. Like, I don't know how else to say it, but like,
yeah,
I don't know how else to say it.
I got you.
Freedom is not... freedom is not having no identity or no master. Freedom is choosing what identity you inherit.
Beautiful.
Hmm.
She said it. Thank you. Teamwork. Tag team. Boom.
Love it. All right. Well, I will go ahead and close us out in prayer. So, great and heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Evan, for Christina, for Alex, for all those involved. Lord, I ask that you just please watch over Will. You know the struggles that he's having. You know what he's going through. Please just comfort him, surround him, and just help him get through this. Lord, he's such a fantastic person, and I ask that you just bless him and comfort him. Lord, I ask that you be with the entire band as they're going through their Gideon moment right now. It seems like the enemy is well prepared, and you are just stripping things away, preparing Crimson Overtone for that battle. Lord, you know what they need. Just continue to provide it. Continue to strengthen them. Continue to encourage them. Give them the energy that they need. Help them to find their identity in you and you alone. Lord, just protect them in all that they do. They're such a blessing to all of us. We thank you so much for them. And more than that, we thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins on that cross. In Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, you know what to do.
Yeah. All right. Well, it was such a pleasure getting to know you guys, Evan and Christina. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Jeremy, we appreciate you also being here too. We're so grateful for you to be here. And remember, guys, if you're going to rock, rock for him.
If you like what you saw today, hit the subscribe and like button down below and don't forget to share it to all your friends. Also, leave us a comment down below. If you're going to rock, rock for him.
Next week on Rock for Him, we talk to Chris Bossom of A1 Ministries and Kingdom Come Fest.